Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue on with St. Paul in the letters that were given this week from 1 Timothy, the verses from 1 Timothy that are being presented at Mass each day this week. Yesterday, we began with 1 Timothy chapter 2, and St. Paul was writing to Timothy, who was established by Paul as a shepherd in the church in Ephesus. And the church at that time was struggling. There was a pastoral crisis going on that was threatening the church. It was false teachers and false shepherds really teaching a false religion and not putting Christ at the center as the only Savior of the world. And so Paul is exhorting Timothy, though he's young, he's exhorting him and reminding him, first of all, what's the central truth, that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world, the only mediator between God and men, and that the church is the means by which the offer of salvation, the life of God, has been established, the kingdom on the earth present in the life of the church. And it's through the church that people can come to salvation, through hearing the gospel, giving their life to Christ, being baptized, becoming a new creation, being united to the body of Christ. And at the same time, Paul's instructing Timothy in very practical ways throughout the letter about how he should act as a leader and what are the responsibilities of the pastors and shepherds that he's leading. Earlier in the first chapter, there's another beautiful little phrase that St. Paul uses that describes, again, the uniqueness of Christ. So my focus this week is for us to just reflect on a central fact that actually does get confused in people's lives, which is Jesus is the only Savior of the world. There's no other means, there's no other way that human beings, all who stand, each individual person, stands in need of salvation. And what is salvation? Well, it can be described in a lot of ways. Moving from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, moving from being under demonic power to coming under the power of the kingdom of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation means coming out of enslavement to the world, the flesh, and the devil, which is what the world is under, the fallen world. There's a lot of good here in the world. We know all that God created is good, human beings in particular, who bear the image of God. But we know the condition we're in. We're in a condition of spiritual combat, spiritual warfare, and that the human race is born into sin, under the dominion of sin, which leads to death, and there's no way out of it. So it's a condition, you might call this an understanding of Christian anthropology. What is the human person? What is the condition of the human race before God? So as we understand the condition of being enslaved to the world, the flesh, and the devil, under the power of sin, unable on our own resources to come out of that condition, we're now living in a condition, Paul would say, hostile to God, made in the image of God, fallen from the glory of God, now standing as, even the scripture says, enemies of God. There's a condition we can't do anything about. This is why no other religion, with its laws and its ways of meditating or whatever it constitutes, that constitution is not enough because it doesn't deal with the sin problem, which produces the death problem. It's not just a matter of let's present the human race some more laws, some more religious habits or ways of thinking that they can better themselves. Let's get them on a better path. And something that we do, it's not a moral system that we assent to, that we just determine, okay, we're going to work harder at being more obedient and being better or following this light. We need something more than that. We know that God's commandments are good. God's commandments are light, but we need more than the commandments. We need to become a new creation. We need a transformation to go from death to life. And what that is what we've been talking about, what Paul is talking about here. Here's another beautiful phrase from verse 15 from chapter 1 from Timothy. It says, "This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I'm the foremost of sinners. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, As the foremost, Jesus Christ may display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To believe in him. What does that mean? What is to believe? To have faith. Faith is the radical acceptance of the truth that's being revealed by Jesus. That is Jesus' diagnosis of the condition of the world and Jesus' diagnosis of my life and the life of every individual person. He knows we are those made in the image of his Father. But he also knows the condition of bondage and spiritual slavery that everybody's in. He's the one who perfectly diagnoses the condition of the human heart. I've said it many times on the program, and it's worth chewing on this, friends, where, you know, they asked Jesus, the apostles and others and religious leaders, well, if certain kinds of foods defile the human heart, will it defile us? And of course, there were ritual laws that the Jewish people had, what to eat, which couldn't eat. But Jesus was going deeper, and he said, the problem is already there in the human heart. He said, what defiles a man? He said, look into your heart. What's the heart? It's really the core of our being. It's the seat of decision. It's the wellspring of identity that we've been given by God, made in his image and likeness. And then Jesus says these very dramatic words. He's just diagnosing it better than any therapist or psychologist or anybody could possibly say. He knows the condition of the human heart. St. John the Apostle told us, you know, Jesus knows, he knew their hearts. He knows the condition of the human heart. What's there? Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, hatred, bitterness, resentment, right? Domination, fear, these kinds of things. And Jesus said, I'm coming to deal with that condition. I'm going to fulfill the promises of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others. I'm going to give you a new heart. Not a heart of stone, but a heart of flesh. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit given to us is the core of that new heart because it's the very heart of Jesus. So it's a transfer of life. It's not just a transfer of wisdom, better insight, or even certain truths. Christianity is a new life. That's what Paul's talking about. So Christ Jesus came into the world, Paul says, to save sinners. That's everybody. That's why Jesus came. His name, as we said yesterday, is Jesus. And the church reminds us again and again, these beautiful, beautiful phrases. The saints, I talked somewhat about from the catechism and the scripture yesterday, various passages that just remind us again and again of the absolute exclusivity, the total absolute uniqueness of Jesus as the one Savior of the world. His name means God saves. Jesus is the final word of the Father sent by God the Father. And what has he come to do? He's come to save. Number one, that's what he's doing. Because again, every single person on the planet needs this salvation. St. Augustine, there's no other name that delivers a man from the devil except the name of Christ. That's from his homily on the Gospel of John. Cyril of Jerusalem, the name of Jesus poured into the ears of believers produces great sweetness, but to unbelievers it is a reproach. The former it fills with joy, the latter with terror. It's from Cyril's Catechetical Lecture number 10. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, the name of Jesus is honey in the mouth, music in the ear, a gladness in the heart. It's from his sermon in the Song of Songs. St. Peter Chrysologus, there's no sickness of the soul, no weakness of the body that does not immediately yield to the power of the name of Jesus. Sermon 152. John Paul II, Jesus Christ is the one Savior of the world, yesterday, today, and forever. Without him, there is no salvation. That's really worth thinking about. And then getting straight on the condition of the human race, as we've been talking about, because there's just a lot of confusion. It's like, well, you know, at the end of the day, all religions are about the same thing. Be a good person. Be kind to people. care for others. Also, follow your heart. These kinds of things that are in religions of the day. But that's not what the gospel says. It's not what the church teaches. It's not why the church exists. It's much deeper than that. It's a life. It's a person. It's Jesus. All power, all glory, all authority belong to him. He is the ultimate gift and the ultimate truth, the ultimate wisdom for the human race. Only Jesus reveals absolute truth that brings pure light and understanding to what it means to be human and what's really going on in the world. It's Jesus alone, and Jesus is the only one who reveals the Father. That's why he came. I often think that's why, with such a joyful heart, when the Father sent the Son. St. John Paul II used to say that Christianity and the mission of Christianity, evangelization, begins in the heart of a loving Father who sends his Son, and his Son gladly goes. He condescends and he takes on human flesh to become one of us in order to save us and to make it possible ultimately to become partakers in the divine nature. So friends, we have to be careful that we don't fall asleep, because we can get so preoccupied by the things in this world, even the many good things in the world, and we lose the big picture. And we just kind of live like, hey, yeah, the whole purpose is just get along and let everybody do what they feel called to do and follow their own bliss, and everybody's path is going to get there. Maybe a few won't make it, you know, Hitler and, you know, others. That's the kind of air we breathe. And it's a total lie. It's absolute confusion. And the devil wants us to stay attached to the world in a way to say, what it's really all about is getting the most out of my time here in the world, the best the world gives, and to be preoccupied by all the wonderful things we can create, what we can do, what we can have, what we can possess, where we can go. He will keep us preoccupied, keep our minds filled, and dazzle us in order to get us to never stop and think about, well, what actually is Jesus all about? He's not just coming to encourage. He's not just coming to inspire. He's coming to save. And yeah, to save you and to save me. The human race stands in a desperate, desperate condition before God. And God's mercy, God's love has come. And the offer to enter into the new life that's in Jesus is being offered to us. Buddha can't do that. Muhammad can't do that. No New Age religion can do that. All they can do is, I mean, maybe some light can be shown, but it's not saving. And I'll talk about that tomorrow because it's critical to understand. Hope you can join me. God bless.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.